This is the Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller. I have James Utzler on the other side of Skype, and I'm still waiting for my compadre. We are going to revisit where we left off when Rick started joining us a while back. And if you're wanting to follow along, you might go to the fishermanministry.org website and click on teachings. And on that list, you will see a word about prayer. And you click on that, and you're going to be looking at the document we're going to be going over. So there you go. Pretty much, I'm not really sure exactly how we're going to do this, but I suppose we're going to read this, and if anything comes to mind that we need to talk about, then we'll talk about it. That's why I was hoping to have more than one mind here, but let's see. All right. Let's do this. I will just get up on the mic and see if that helps out at all. Okie dokie. The importance of prayer in the body of Christ as we pray for one another and pray for ourselves, pray for our those over us, and pray for just general peace and welfare of our country and the leaders, political leaders, that we have peaceable life here. It's important to pray for others in the Lord with like faith, and even to go so far as to say it's good to pray for those whose faith is not quite the same as ours. Prayer is one of, if not the most important, weapons against spiritual darkness and Satan's devices the believer can have and use. But one must know how to pray. All right. So we're going to look at James 5:16, and I probably have that on I used the paper here. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, looking at that, there are some very important points that one can receive by breaking this verse down and taking a good look at it. Confess. What does it mean to confess? There's nothing. You shouldn't be hearing anything because there's no. We're not. Well, you say something, James.
Confess is to acknowledge.
All right, I got you. We just wanted to make sure Philip could hear you. So, yeah. Well, it is. And it means to acknowledge and agree. And it's usually agreement that with the Lord that we haven't done what He wanted. And most of us are all too familiar with that condition. One of the first things that we get from this definition is to acknowledge, or by implication of assent, agree fully. If you want God to answer your prayers, then the first thing that you have to do is to acknowledge that your faults, is to acknowledge your faults and agree fully that they're wrong. It'll say that here, so I'll just read it. Many Christians that I talk to do not have good success in their prayer life simply because of this one thing. They don't want to accept their responsibility for their actions and sins. It's never their fault, or it's always beyond their control. You may deceive yourself, but you cannot deceive God. If you want to be in a position for God the Father to hear your prayers and act on them, you must acknowledge your faults and agree that they are wrong. We have, you know, the one thing that hits me, you know, it really doesn't have anything to do with kingdom life or kingdom principles or even how we deal with one another. The thing that hits me is the number of times I'll see in TV shows where even it doesn't matter whether it's in the zombie apocalypse or, you know, something else, some other kind of extraordinary circumstances. We're under a dome and then the world got wiped out outside of the dome. You get these extraordinary circumstances and then all of a sudden the rules of right and wrong don't matter anymore. There is an excuse for us behaving without conscience. And, you know, that's real convenient, I suppose, if you can get away with it. But I know that many of our testimonies here amongst us is that we couldn't get away with it. Lord grabbed us by the scruff of the neck and said, all right, now you're going to be held accountable. So it's always better to agree with God when he tells you something. Much better to agree with him right off the rip and say, yep, you got me red-handed here. I'm absolutely wrong. You got anything, James?
Well, when we do that, we can find many ways to justify ourselves. And, you know, going back to, you know, not having success in prayer life, it's, you know, we have to go to the Father humbly. And humbly is admitting or acknowledging our sin. And when we try to justify it or come up with excuses, that the Lord, one, isn't going to really hear it, and two, isn't going to help us through that. You know, bring us to the other side until we humble ourselves.
Right. Steve, the topic is a word about prayer from the ministry website. Let's see. I'm not even going to try this Greek pronunciation. I don't know why it's even here. The fault word is a sideslip, unintentional error, or willful transgression. Fall, a fault, offense, sin, and trespass, I suppose, are all ways it's been translated. Here we can see that the word faults can mean anything from simple mistake to well-thought-out, full-blown sin. It can mean to sideslip or lapse from one's duties, duties to God, country, family, church, and community. I know that none of us have ever done that, right? But truth of the matter is, that's what the truth of the matter is, and most of us do it in more ways than we like to admit. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. Get the point? Any sin can cause you weakness in your prayer life. Satan will grab it and use it against you in a heartbeat. It is absolutely destructive of your prayer life. If you give the enemy any space whatsoever, then he's going to absolutely wreck your prayer life. That's why your prayer life starts with confession before God. You have to take the arm away from the enemy.
What, and also, I mean, remember in Psalm 51 where you have David, and he's like, that thou madest be clear when thou judgest. And Psalm 51 where he talks about what he's doing is he's confessing his fault into the place of, and to the place of, you know, my sin is ever before me, and to where that, look, don't be confused with what I'm saying. I acknowledge my transgression. I acknowledge them. I know what they are. I know what I've done. You know what I'm saying? And it provides a kind of like a an innocence sense there that you're not deceiving yourself in what's going on. It actually gives clear weight to forgive. You know, it says in John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But, you know, if we say we don't have sin, kind of like a liar and the truth is not in us, in the sense of, you know, hey, if we're saying, well, I don't got any sin to be forgiven of here. Well, that's just not, that's not the case. If you want to be forgiven of those things, you acknowledge these things and you bring them before the Lord.
Okay, I have Davey up with us.
Hello, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
You know, you're talking about sin and fault. You don't confess your sins to man. You confess them to God.
Right.
You know, try to make a difference between the two. I mean, I might have a fault of talking when I should be listening. Somebody tells me, why don't you listen and stop talking? Well, instead of justifying myself, acknowledge it's a fault. You follow what I'm saying? I remember years ago, they came out with teachings on this back in the 70s, and they were saying, we're going to go and confess your sins one to another. And I remember a deal where a man went and confessed to his wife that he had an affair with another woman while they were dating. She never got over it.
Right.
She never got over that. And the bottom line is, he had no business telling her that. Yes, it was a sin. But he should have gone to God with it and not told his wife, because that did her no good. So he commits two sins.
Yeah, it actually was hurtful.
Right. So a fault, think of a fault as a character trait that needs to be corrected and fixed.
Right.
You know, you're lazy. That's a fault. You don't put the toilet seat down for your wife to make her happy. That's a fault. That's not a sin. It's a fault.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
So you want to, when you're talking about this verse, confess your faults one to another, it's to acknowledge, like you say, to acknowledge, to admit your faults.
You can't sin against one another. Your sin is against God.
Right, and that's why Jesus said when he taught us to pray, forgive us our trespasses.
Right.
As we forgive those who trespass against us. You can't trust, you cannot sin against me, but you can trespass me.
Right.
David also says that in Psalm 51.
Right. So it's so easy. I hear people, and James, you made the mistake of saying sin in place of fault, and that's why I want to come up and say something about this, because don't confuse the two.
Thank you for the correction.
You're more than welcome. Y'all carry on. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right. I know it's always good to get Dave's input, and we're never lacking for instruction in the chat room either. Yeah, I know. He said bring him up. I was absolutely in the process of it, and there is a little delay on the network. But I had him in there, and I was glad to have the clarification. And, you know, that is the truth. We have all kinds of faults from one of us to the next one, and some of them are, we just let them, we just shine them on, and some of them are just things we seem to get have addressed daily, and sometimes it doesn't seem like that's enough. But it is the truth that most of us, in more ways than we would like to admit, carry faults around with us. And that's one of the reasons why agape love is long-suffering and thinks no evil. And it is an exercise in love to love one another in spite of their faults. And don't take them personally. But like we were saying, sin, on the other hand, is an offense against the Lord. David said in Psalm 51, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Who else is there to sin against? Let's see. Any sin can cause you weakness in your prayer life. Satan will grab it and use it against you in a heartbeat. That's what we were talking about there. Have you ever wanted to pray and found yourself not able to get into it? Have you ever tried to pray and found your mind wandering? Don't know. It's never happened to me. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm tell you what.
When I first read this, because I read this before, when I first read this, I thought to myself, I'm glad I'm not the only one. I I thought I was just messed up, which I am, but, you know.
You thought you were
the only one
up.
that really had this thing going against them here. You don't know.
Well, this is the constant state we find ourselves in. This is the kind of challenge that we have daily if we try to seek the Lord and utilize prayer to both for our own needs and the needs of others. If we give the enemy any ground, he robs us of our communication with the field general.
Well, it's interesting because I was kind of talking a little bit about this with Gina and Jeremy before I came over here. The reason I was late, so I apologize to everybody. and Paul, especially.
Don't need to justify yourself. You got here. Let's go.
But one of the things was that confessing the faults. Now, Davey made that point up, confessing the faults one to another, right. But we confess our sin before God. And I don't know if I'm going off chasing a bunny rabbit here or not. Probably am, so once again, please forgive me. But was the fact of going through trials and tribulations and, you know, bad days and stuff like this and what they're designed to do as far as strengthening you in Him and realizing, and I said, you know, the place where I come to where the Lord meets me is going, you know, Lord, I'm in this place and I'm fretting. I'm in a bad place because I have unbelief. I haven't been looking on You at all. And I yet here just looking on the situation and not looking on to You. And yet when I turn to Him, there's deliverance there. And you know, I got... which, you know, kind of going back to confessing your faults one to another, is that you may be healed of them. I mean, one of the things is that it's like being able to come... to a place where, you, like you said, acknowledge. And if you can acknowledge
and agree
what's going on, that is something that you can yet lift to the Lord. If you don't acknowledge, then it's not, so you don't recognize that you need to give it to the Lord, or into this sense, to the body, to be free from it.
So much of our lives and the training we get from the time we're able to speak and understand spoken words is the carnalness of you're getting this trouble has come your way, this tribulation is on you because God's getting even, and it's the presumption there is this: that God's a dirt.
Right. Well, we talked
mean guy.
Right, and we talked about that as well, about the enemies and the flesh's MO. I mean, we actually put a lot on Satan if we want, but really, the truth of the matter is our own flesh is at enmity with God. It's one of those things, and it's our fault for listening to it at all.
These things come on us so that we can learn to trust in the reliability and faithfulness of the Lord.
Amen. And that's exactly what I was talking about. This is like boot camp for us. We're talking about...
This is training us to be good soldiers.
Amen. And not just for His battle, but also for us...
For each other.
For eternity.
Right.
I mean, because what you have is all of our works or our own doing is going to burn up. But faith in Him is not, because what He has done is not going to burn up. But it is, you're not going to, when you get there in heaven, you're not going to take Him off His throne and crucify Him again. Not going to happen. So this is about getting to where we rely on the Lord for everything. Trust Him for everything. So, putting our faith where it should be. Not in anything else. That was the point I was talking about with them, so I went a little bit off skew here, so I apologize.
You got anything to add here, James?
Well, you know, I could say yesterday, you know, I really struggled with standing firm in the grace in Christ Jesus, and I did some work on a gentleman's vehicle, a transmission. Replace the seals, put it back together. It's never left the shop. It's leaking still, pouring transmission fluid when you shut it off. So I've got a lot to do before Thanksgiving. I have to work on my own car. I had another gentleman come in, did work on his car. Didn't have time to, in my eyes. Pouting the whole time, not, you know, glorifying God. And I was just, I allowed myself yesterday to get in a bad place. And Rosemary came out and told me that I stole her joy. And, you know, this whole, the services this morning, I mean, just about, I mean, it brought me to tears. It was, I completely lost sight of the Lord. That, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, I was, no, Lord, I'm happy where I am right now. No, Lord, yesterday. And, you know, through it all, the Lord was still gracious. I went and talked to an older gentleman that's rebuilt transmissions his whole life. He said it's probably a cracked case. I told him the situation. He said, bring it over here. I'll take it apart. You know, it's actually an internal problem in the transmission. So even though I was completely unthankful, the Lord still had grace upon me. And I mean, I had to ask for forgiveness. Yes, sir.
Can I ask you something? Then, James, did you turn, were you humbled, and you did you turn onto him with gratefulness?
I did this morning. I went out there to pull the transmission out, and before services, I got started on it, and I'm like, oh, it's like 25 degrees here this morning. I'm like, not really looking forward to it, but it was... Lord, I know this is what I need to do. I just ask for grace and mercy, and I ask for you to forgive me for yesterday. I went out there. It had to have been 20 degrees warmer in the shop. Tools weren't even cold. Things were coming apart good. And I listened to you, Phil, this morning about, you know, not having a good day and going to work and still glorifying the Lord, and all I could think is, boy, I did the exact opposite yesterday, and Lord, please forgive me.
Well, if that's what you heard, then praise God. But, I mean, yesterday was a great day. It was a great day. I mean, don't get me wrong, and I thank the Lord for it. But, I mean, my point, what I was bringing here is that, I mean, look, I mean, the Lord loves you, James. And, you know, just as a kid that has a struggle with something, you know, I mean, we don't go and just beat them down because they had to struggle with something. You know, sometimes the Lord comes down, fixes it, and just shows you how good He is. And it's a humbling thing. And it's a praise the Lord that He does that for us. I was talking with Gina and Jeremy. One of the things that kind of came up there with that whole thing was, you know, I said, you know, so we were talking about disciplining kids. I said, but you know, the Lord's good. I mean, I said, when you see your kid turn around and look upon you and break through a struggle, or that they just get through a struggle, no, however it means, you're not disappointed in them. You love them in the sense of you don't remember. You don't. I mean, when you turned your eyes and you repented unto the Lord. That is faithfulness, because you look back unto the Lord again. And what is the Lord doesn't hold those things against you. You confessed your sin to Him. He forgave you. He doesn't remember no more. Just like when our kid goes through a struggle and attitude and all that thing, when it's over with, you don't hold that against them. You love them. You're glad to see them broke through. You're glad to see them free again. You're glad to see them out of that. You know what
Amen.
I'm saying? I mean, the
Amen.
Lord is good and gracious. I mean, if we yet be evil and have this eyesight of our own kids, how much more the
Greater.
Lord being perfect? So that you did practice faithfulness because you turned back unto Him and asked for forgiveness, and you received the sufficiency of what He has done for you.
Yeah, what amazes me looking back at yesterday is how easily I can forget how much the Lord has done for me. You know, how easy it is to just forget. You know, because if we hold fast to those things, I mean, you know, we're supposed to give thanks to the Lord in all things. You know, the Lord's bigger than anything we're going through. Anything that's, you know, in front of us. And
Amen. Amen. And I mean, it's funny because that was exactly what we were talking about before I came on. As a mess of it, definitely true.
Yes, that's taking your confessing your faults to one another and being as immediate as you can about confessing your sin. As soon as you know it's sin, you got to disarm the enemy. Frankly, when I'm praying and my mind starts wandering, I'm shamed. It's terrible. And there's no excuse. This is just, you know, lazy, mentally lazy. Anyhow, mind wandering, that's an example of what it means to sideslip or lapse. Instead of making excuses for them, confess them and acknowledge that you're the wrong one here, and stop trying to justify yourself. If you have committed an offense, go to that person and tell them. Ask them for their forgiveness. If they forgive it, fine. You've won a brother or sister. If they will not forgive you, well, you've done the right thing. And Satan can no longer use it against you. And, you know, it's up to them what they do with it. If you committed a sin, confess it to your Heavenly Father, who is faithful to forgive, and leave no ground. You don't want Satan to be able to come in and steal what you got. And, you know, what you should have is victory. You have victory over sin and death in Jesus Christ. And as we move on, this one's hard. One to another. We don't need a Strong's definition in this case, but we do need a little wisdom in the exercise thereof. I've seen more churches and families broken up over their mishandling of this verse and these words. I knew of a man, here we go. I knew a man this time, and this is what David was just talking about, cheating on his wife early in their marriage. She didn't know what he had done. He heard a teaching in this verse and, along with others, and was told that he should go and tell his wife, and destroyed their marriage. If I had counseled him in this matter and found out that this thing happened years ago in the beginning of their marriage before they were Christians and she didn't know about it, I would have told him to confess to God and forget it. Be careful who you confess to. I can't stress this too much. Be careful who you confess to. Confession of sin should only be made in the presence of a mature Christian. And to be safe, it should just be your authority. Because that authority is going to tell you to take it and get forgiveness from the Lord. Take it to the Lord, as He has forgiven you of your sin.
And he's talking about the difference between sin and fault here. And
right.
I don't know. I mean, and maybe David can pop back up on here to help me with this, or Paul, maybe you can help me with this, or James help me. Because I tell you, I mean, one of my, my testimonies revolved around I suck and I'm a dirtbag, but the Lord has been good and delivered me out of so many things. You know, kind of like what you're talking about this morning, James. And so I don't know, but I guess he already went over that. I mean, the difference between the sin there and the fault. You know, so praise God. But
yeah,
I might do this more often. I should. or at all. I should not do this at all, is what it says. So, but only with a mature Christian, I find myself telling people of my wrongdoing but how it's good and profitable, and how the Lord has met me in the midst of it. So I don't know.
Why should we confess one another? Simple things hidden always have a way of coming out in the open. If they're not hidden, then you won't have to live in fear of someone finding out. Fear is a faith killer. Fear is the enemy of faith. One cannot have faith and have fear. Satan does use fear, and he will use it with everything that he has. In other words, he doesn't hold back.
You know, I watched this movie. It's really interesting. And it's called After Earth. And, you know, apparently these monsters has came and destroyed planet Earth. Well, they called this thing, it was called ghosting. And the only way that these monsters can even detect you, and nobody knew it, was if you feared them. And when you feared them, they knew you were there. They fed off the pheromones and the adrenaline that happened and everything like that. And they would come and they would attack you. But one of the guys was able to figure out he was close to death and says, I don't want this thing in my arm anymore. Decided to pull it out. He decided to live and he didn't fear it. And then what he realized was that monster couldn't even detect him. Didn't even know he was there. And he destroyed the monster's butt. So it was an interesting point on this, because the Lord hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind.
Right.
And that whole thing is that's just how the enemy is. Just like that monster, he sees that fear, he's going to want to take that thing and he's going to want to run with it. He's going to try to destroy you with that fear. I mean, there was no difference there. It was quite an interesting movie.
What movie was it?
It's called After Earth.
Now, like, moving on. It says, pray one for another that you may be healed. The first thing to notice about this phrase is that it does not say, pray for one another that they may be healed. What it does say is pray for one another that ye may be healed. Praying for other people heals you. This kind of prayer that James is talking about here heals your soul, spirit, and body. I am fully persuaded that if we could get a handle on this verse, that no Christian could be hit by Satan, sickness. By sickness from Satan. And we look at effectual. To be active, efficient, do, be effectual, fervent, be mighty, and show forth self-work effectually. To show forth self-work effectually. Wow. Just horrible at reading that. Interesting. Energeo. That's probably the root of our word energy. I'm just guessing. Active, operative, effectual, powerful. Means be active in an efficient and mighty way to show forth yourself, unselfish. It means that what you're doing has an outcome that shows itself. It's apparent. How does one pray in an effectual way? First, you have to know that what you're praying about. Another side of effectual prayer is powerful. I want to show you a parable that Jesus told and point out a couple of things in it. Matthew 17:20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. He's not talking about size here, he's talking about kind or type. I don't care what anyone says, it takes great faith to move a mountain. Jesus was trying to tell us that. You must have the type of faith that a mustard seed has to move a mountain out of its place. Now look at the parable. Another parable putting forth in them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it's the greatest among herbs. And, jeez. Sometimes I read words
and it's like that. I'll take over reading if you want to.
Yeah, go for it.
I'll just start at that Matthew 13:32. Which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. What is not made clear here to us, but to them made sense, is this. First, a mustard seed is an herb. You know what herbs are. They are those little plants that we get spices from. Most herbs don't get over 2 or 3 feet in height. Second, if you put something over the seed of an herb, it will not germinate. Now, if you had been sitting here with Jesus when he gave this parable, you would have see large trees like mustard plants growing right out of the rocks. You see, what sets the mustard seed apart from the other herbs is that it can be carried under a boulder and left there, and it will still germinate. After it germinates, it will find a crack in the boulder and begin to grow in that crack. It will grow until it splits the boulder in half. God put in that mustard seed a type of faith that tells it that if it continues to grow and does not give up, it will find the sun in the sky. This is the kind of faith that is effectual. It is the kind of faith that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, must develop. How do we do it? Look at this. You want me to keep going?
Do we have anything we need to talk about the mustard seed type faith?
No, I mean, it pretty much explains it pretty clearly. I mean, that thing wants to find the sun, and it's not going to give up till it finds the sun.
That means going after it. Just going after it, getting it.
Yep. And that's the type of effectual prayer we should have, is one believing that we're going to find that there's going to be deliverance, there's going to be fruit on the other side of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that God's good and His deliverance is there, regardless of the boulder that's in our way.
All right, let's look at how to develop this type of faith.
How do we do it? Look at this. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude tells us that we must build up ourselves on our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost is praying in tongues. If Satan can convince the church not to pray in tongues, he can rob it of a mustard seed type faith. It takes faith to pray in tongues. Your mind rebels against it. Effectual faith and prayer had to be developed. It does not come without a price. The price for this kind of prayer and faith is having to give up pride, stubbornness, self-will, disobedience, and laziness.
Ouch.
Those are faults there. Just clearing up.
Well, some of them may be, but some of them are just attributes of pride.
Yeah.
So you can do with that what you want. How about it, James? What do you got?
I don't have anything at the moment. I apologize, Paul.
No, it's okay. I just thought I'd check in with you. Make sure you're still awake.
I'm here. You know, okay. I mean, one thing, you know, is no matter what was put in front of that mustard seed, it kept pushing. You know, I mean, a boulder compared to the, it says, you know, starts out as the least among herbs. It, you know, there was nothing in its way that stopped it from pressing forward to the mark, say. You know, it had faith to know that if it kept pressing forward, that it would find the sun. And I mean, that's our daily battle, if we just keep our eyes on the Lord. You know, we will find him. It's when we let all those other things come in. We look at the boulder and say, we can't do that.
You know, it's, and I'm glad that he marked by praying in the Holy Ghost. Because, let me put it this way, when I remember to do this, albeit a situation that comes up at work or before I go up to preach a sermon or before or for other people and some breakthroughs or just breakthroughs in myself, I don't think I remember a time where I have prayed in tongues and there wasn't deliverance on the other side of that thing.
Well, that's right.
I'm serious. There's been times at work where this situation's come up and I'm praying in tongues before I go handle this really frustrated customer that wants to rip off my head. Or at least, that's what it seems like. And there hasn't been resolve in it. Some people call that cheating.
Well,
I say that's the only way I can play.
Cheat?
It's cheating.
Next, we look at fervent. And, you know, fervent is, that kind of brings me back to mustard seed. But,
I should say that's the only way I know I can win. Doesn't mean I play that way all the time. Let me share some of my fault with you here.
I hear you. We're looking at fervent. Right. Number six there.
Next, we look at fervent. You can have effectual prayer without fervent prayer. The two must go together. Fervent means to be serious. When you put effectual together with serious, you have a combination in the spirit that can be compared to putting hydrogen and oxygen together. They are explosive. Prayer is the next word that we need to look at. Desis. Dehiasis. From 1189. A petition, prayer, request, supplication. Dio mihi. To beg, as binding oneself. Petition, beseech, prayer, make request. A prayer is a petition or request that you make to God, your Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. It also means to beg, as in binding yourself to one to the one you are petitioning. A good example of this was Jacob. And Jacob was, Genesis 32:24, and Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Genesis 32:25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. This is one of the best examples of binding yourself to the one you are petitioning. Jacob wrestled with Jesus and refused to let him go. For this he received a great blessing. Another scripture to look at is, do you want me to go or do you want me to stop there?
Talk about
okay.
Talk about Jacob. I think it's interesting that that he was so intent after that blessing that he wasn't going to let go. And he was, the testimony he gives is, "I've seen God face to face, and he let me live." This was interesting. This whole thing was interesting. It's also interesting. It's just like, why do you think I should give you my name? I mean, you'll know it soon enough. It was Jesus, man. Come on.
But wasn't time for him to give him his name.
Wasn't time for him to get it revealed.
And you know, I mean, the thing with me, where he's wrestling, I mean, I look at this in shame. You know, I know how many times I have wrestled with things and go, "Man, that's tiring." Woo! And shoot, I haven't even began to wrestle yet. I just looked and said, "Oh man, that's going to be hard." But I speak that to my shame. Not all the time, but he was just like that mustard seed. He was not giving up. He was not giving up.
Firm. All right, let's see. We are not about going to finish this thing today, so.
Oh, we're at 12:54.
Almost 12:55 here in a couple seconds. Let's.
I want to get down to the. Well, I mean, we don't have time, but. All right.
Let's talk about what we've looked at. If we learned anything, we'll take up here next time. This is a fairly decent break point. I think it's interesting, amongst other things that get my attention. It's interesting that if I can find it.
One thing that is interesting, one thing I did learn that was really cool was when Davey was talking about the difference between the faults and the sin.
Mm-hmm.
That clears that up. I remember the first time reading this, I was thinking fault, sin, same way.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that really brought that up, brought that out to me. And it kind of gives me a clearer way to go about things in doing this scripturally. much clearer way. How about you, James? What did you learn, Bubba?
Well, you know, what was interesting to me was the pray one for another, you know, where it doesn't say that they may be healed, it says that ye may be healed. And, you know, putting others before yourself and lifting them up is good for your soul, spirit, and body. And just that, you know, I mean, I don't think I'd looked at it like that. You know, even when I read it, I'm sure I read it wrong.
Yeah, well, you know what's a good example of that too, James, is where Job, and Robin brought this up to me, and I never seen it when I read Job, but Robin brought this up. When Job, you know, when he was delivered of the boils and all the things that were coming down upon him, when he was delivered of those things, it was when he made intercession as a prophet of God for his friends that were in wrong of judging him of where he was at. It was when he made intercession for him. That's when right. Job was delivered. And that's one of the, you know, a really good example to me. That you may be healed. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I'm done talking. Shut up.
I just was really interested in effectual, the word effectual. Is the Greek energeho. Energeho. It's energy, man. It's energy. It's really all you have to know is look at the English word we get from that.
Yeah.
Energes, active, operative, effectual, powerful. Means to be active in an effectual and mighty way, to show forth in yourself that power and that the effectiveness of faith. Amazing. I think that's going to be a wrap for the week. We only got like maybe 45 seconds left, and I appreciate y'all hanging around and joining us. And we kind of stumble, bumble, rumble our way through it. And hope that we all can benefit from studying the Word of the Lord. Until next week, we'll see you soon.